here today with some lists. And we're going to get into these at the end for the altar service. But I ask you to make a list of your assets and your liabilities so we can pray over that. We ask you to make a family budget so we can pray over that. And we ask you to make a list of goals for the upcoming year. For me, I've been doing this a while. This is my fourth year, starting at the Feast of Tabernacles. Pretty cool, huh? My first feast was in 86. Pretty cool, huh? So anyway, we're going to pray over these after the message, if you got them. All righty. Today's title is called Going In. We're finishing roughly 30 days of repentance and self-examination during what is called the season of Teshuvah to prepare for the fall holy days. I hope y'all have been following this progress. I hope you've been following through the things we've been teaching, because these things are not just things that I'm up here teaching. This is a program to follow, that if you follow this, you're going to have a blessed year and you're going to have a blessed holy day season. Come on, I could use a little blessing in my house. How about you, huh? This works. The Jewish people have been doing this from the beginning of time. We always wonder why the Jewish people are blessed. Why are they always the top people in every field? I'll tell you why. You want to know the conspiracy? They're following this. You want to know the Jewish conspiracy? They're following the Holy Bible. And the more they follow it, the more they're blessed. Well, what does that mean for us? If we'll follow it, we'll be blessed. Amen? Come on. It's just that simple. Just that simple. Now, the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ pays the penalty for our sins. However, we still have to face them, and we must eliminate them. Next week, we're going to burn sin list. When you come to service next week, bring a list of your transgressions of God's law. Next week, as we said before on September 11th, as we said before, see, if on 9/11, if the country had made a collective sin list and we'd all repented before God, we would have already defeated terrorism by now. See, because God said He brought sudden terror. You didn't get that. God said He'll bring sudden terror for our sins. So what did we do? Did we repent? No, we didn't repent. We've gotten worse. We've gotten worse, and we wonder why we're still fighting terror. See, God said He brought it. So guess what? If we return to Him, He'll take it away. Hey, so what do you want in your life? What do you want in your life? We repent. We write them down. We tell God we don't want them. We pray over the list, and we will all burn them together. But we're going to talk about that next week. And that's in preparation for the Day of Atonement. We're coming up into the season of the holy times. We're coming up into the season of the outpouring of God's Spirit. You see, there's a lot of things involved with these holy days, and that's why we can't teach everything to you every week, because we'd be here for 40, 50 hours. Okay, that's more than the Sabbath is. So we got to teach you a little piece every week and just hope you got the faith to walk it out during that week. Amen? Because it's important. Now, the days of awe will start with the Feast of Trumpets and will end with the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Now look, these days of awe are amazing. If you have followed the program we've been teaching you these 4 weeks of Teshuvah, then when you come to the days of awe, I'm going to ask you to make a journal. I'm going to ask you to write down every significant thing that happens to you in your life and everything that the Holy Spirit quickens to you, because God is showing you stuff in your... Come on, somebody. Everybody always says, I want a word from the Lord. Everybody always says, I would love for God to tell me what's going to go on in my life, but He does all the time, but we're not paying attention. We're not looking with our eyes, we're not hearing with our ears, and we're not paying any attention to Him. We're like a bunch of little two-year-olds running around not paying attention to mom and dad, and then they wonder why they get in trouble. Hey, you didn't listen when we told you stop, and now you got the swat on the butt. Oh, come on. Come on. See, some of them get it. So now, we're going to go through the days of awe, and God is going to show you through the events that happen in your life what you need to know. Can you pay attention? Oh, that's stout. Can you pay attention? Can you listen? Can you look? Can you be observant? Now, let me give another one. Jesus is going to walk in that hall during the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, That's undisputed. I mean, you can argue with me all you want to, but too many of us had seen, been touched, had contact. You can't tell us it didn't happen, because we know what we had. So my question for each of y'all is, can you make contact with the living Christ that walks in that hall during the feast? See, it's not whether he's going to be there, it's whether or not you can have your spiritual eyes open, your spiritual ears open, whether you can make contact with him. Can you catch him in the hall during Tabernacles? Or are you just going to come have church while the rest of us are having a God encounter of a lifetime? You see, this is a real deal. That's why we go through this process of teshuvah, is to make ourselves ready to have contact with the living God. It's going to take place for some people in there. And for some of you on CD land, I had word during the worship, you got a God encounter waiting on you if you can get down here to get it. So, all right, you got that on CD. We'll get it out to you, but can you believe it and come and get it? The whole point of Hungry Hearts Ministries is to get you to comprehend that your God is real and He's alive. They didn't leave Him on the cross. They took Him down before sundown. They didn't leave Him in the tomb. He walked out of there on His own power and by His own volition. He went up to the throne of God's throne in heaven above at God's ark and put His very blood on there, which is there to this day to make atonement, not only for the holy place in heaven, but for every one of us. The only thing that can atone for us is that atoning sacrifice, but to get it, you've got to fess up what you've done wrong. You can't expect God to just blanket wash over everything while you're still doing it and acknowledging of it. You've got to come to the acknowledgement of your own sin, and that's why we write them down. It's not because He needs to see the paper. It's not because He needs to watch you burn it. It's because it's a thought process and a mental process and a heart process in you to have the gonads to write it on that paper and say, Lord, I did it. That's a change that takes place in our heart and mind. And then you've got to say, I renounce it and put it in the fire. I don't want it in me no more. It's a process that you need. He doesn't need that. You need that. I need that. I have a list. It's about half a page already. The stuff on it's real. Now look, I say this stuff. I'm not having an affair on Miss Lanice. I'm not stealing money, right? You'll find that as time goes on, there are less sins of commission with your hands. There are less sins of omission. I look the other way. And as time goes on, then you're going to be able to start knocking down the thought process. As time goes on, you're going to be able to rip the things out of your heart that lead to the thought process. Right? So, I have real sin. Very few of them were committed with these. No hand signals this year. How did somebody say that last night? You telling somebody they're number one? So as time goes on, there's less and less of those things, and there's more and more of rooting out the deep inner stuff that leads to those things if they're left unchecked. Come on, somebody. The first time you make a sin list, you got stuff you did. You got stuff you did. You got stuff you said. Right? Then you go from losing the victory in traffic to just not being nice enough to people. Come on. Come on. This is real. We're talking about sin list, right? Come on now. We know all this stuff goes on. It ain't, you know, come to church with a halo on your head. Oh, I never do those kind of things. Yeah, right. God knows. He knows. That's why He's the only one that's going to see your sin list. We don't need to see it. We don't want to see it. We can't handle knowing what's in there, right? You couldn't handle knowing what's on mine. So we're going to keep it all private. We're going to burn them all together, and it's going to be gone. Amen? We want them gone, right? But this is so that you can have contact. You know, God is real. And He wants nothing but a perpetual contact with you in your life. He is dealing with you all the time. Every day, in real time, every way. Your whole life, your whole stream of consciousness is supposed to be a continual contact with the living God. In our modern world, we've totally tuned God out of it because He's too real. You know, we want to make God an idol. Come on, somebody. We got this Greek-Roman thought process so embedded in our culture, in our mind, in our way. We want to put God, make Him a little statue, and put Him up on the mantelpiece. You stay up there out of my life, God. I got things I want to do. No. God wants to walk with you and talk with you and eat with you. And look, I can't call those verses out. It's the whole book from Genesis to Maps. Over and over and over again, He keeps saying the same thing. I want contact with you. I want to walk with you. I want to eat with you. I did this with this person. I did this with that person. Most of them weren't ordained. Ananias. Okay, He didn't send an ordained minister to see Ananias. To see the Apostle Paul when he was struck blind. He didn't send an apostle. He sent an ordinary brother and said, go lay your hands on Saul. And the dude wasn't tripping out because that wasn't the first time the Lord came to him. He wasn't freaking out. That was normal in the early church. We're trying to restore that personal, one-on-one, living contact with the real God. Oh, that's too real for a lot of folks. It sure is. They don't stay here long because it's too real. They get contacted by God and trip out. I thought that's what we all wanted, right? I thought we all read Genesis and said, I wouldn't have sinned like Adam did. I wanted my contact with God. But then we still sin anyway right now, right? Proving that we're liars. Let God be true and every man a liar. See, we got to overcome that. You see, God still came down after they sinned in the garden. They're the ones that hid. And we're still hiding. God's still the one coming down to make contact with us. God's still the one walking in the hall to touch people. God's still around. Can you see him? He's been in here twice this morning. Did you get to see him? Did you get to hear a word from him? Did you feel a touch from him? That's because we're not paying attention. We're not trying to capture him. Can God be captured? You better believe he can. Come on, ladies. Can you capture your husband? Anytime you want, right? Come on. Come on, talk to me. Can you, dads, can you be caught by your wife? Come on. See, the thing about it is God wants this contact with us more than we want the contact with him. It's not him that doesn't want to be contacted with us. It's us that doesn't want the contact with him. And it's our sin that makes us want to run away and hide. Come on, somebody. Well, shout me down when I'm preaching real good. We have this concept in Christianity, which is supposed to be the religion of a very personal God, of a Greco-Roman statue that's too great to touch us, too holy to look on us, and that, oh, God can't look on us. Oh, really? Give me a scripture reference on that one, because I got about five that'll blow that one down quick. Where does it say in the Bible that God's too holy to look on our sin? I got a whole section in my Bible that says God himself told Abraham, I'm going to Sodom to see it for myself. Was Cain not a murderer? Who was standing next to him talking to him the whole time? Did God know he was going to murder Abel? Of course he did. He stood right there. What did he tell him? Sin's crouching at the door. He's going to have its way with you. You've got to overcome it. What did Cain say? I want him anyway. You see, that's the whole process right there. We're too often telling God, I want to do what I want to do anyway. That's the sin of the devil. The devil would rather rule in hell than be a servant in heaven. But you know what? He's not going to rule anything because God's going to lock him in the bottomless pit and then going to put him in the lake of fire and there'll be nobody to rule over. He's going to lose it all, taking the fool's gamble. But you see, each one of us has bought the same bargain. I want to rule my own life. I want to be my own boss. Oh, really? Really? It doesn't end up well that way. Like a fire, it doesn't end up that way. We've got to take God off the pedestal, and we've got to make God our constant companion. And we're better. We've got to take God off the pedestal and make him the love of our life. The love of our life. This book, the Holy Hebrew Bible, is the epic and continuing story of the God encounters of all the people. Individual people. Individual people. That wanted to live in God. God and God alone is to be worshipped, but we have applied the Greco-Roman forms of worship to a Hebrew God. We want to bow down to a statue. We want to make God like an immovable, impersonal, untalking, unhearing, unthinking, unpersonal statue that we bow down to. When God wants to be none of those things. He wants to be a very personal God, very much alive. He wants to hear you talk to him, but hey, he wants to hear you listen to him too. Come on, somebody. You have one-way conversations with people? Not often, because when you get into a one-way conversation, after a while, it's like, hey, I need to get out of this. You know, conversation is supposed to be two ways. You talk, I talk. You talk, I talk. Both of us listening to each other and interreacting with what we're saying, right? That's what God wants. Yes, he wants you to talk to him, but he also wants you to stop sometimes and hear what he's got to say to you. Oh, y'all didn't get that. What's the point of having a God that don't hear you? What's the point of having a God that doesn't talk to you? Why on earth would you want to have a God that's deaf and mute like the pagans have? Allah can't talk. Buddha can't talk. Paid Dan Alexander's reservation the other day. All these Hindu gods all plastered up behind the desk. They can't talk. They're pictures on the wall. Your God walks in this place and talks in this place and touches people in this place. The question is, can you give up your dignity? Can you give up the things you've put in your mind that block you off from Him? Can you give all that up and make contact with your God in this place? I mean, think about that for a minute. You get up to the beam of judgment of heaven and you find out that Jesus stood next to you in church 45 times at Hungry Hearts. Or He sat in the chair next to you and you were just so hard-hearted and callous you wouldn't let Him touch you. And you wouldn't let Him feel you. And you wouldn't let Him talk to you because you just had your little hard heart up there. That would be tough, wouldn't it? This is all about catching God. Look, I came into this doing the laws of God out of sheer obedience. But when I found out about the relationship, that changed everything in my life. Look, if you're going to keep Sabbath and holy days out of obedience, you get a reward for that, okay? That's worth doing all by itself. If you're going to be Pentecostal and have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's a reward for that all by itself. But if you want the relationship, if you want the relationship and you want this relationship to go anywhere besides a handshake and a hello and a goodbye, then you got to bring these two things together, because it's the walk that you're living with your body in the Torah that gives you a basis to have contact. And it's the power of the Holy Ghost living in you that opens the channel up where you can hear clearly. That's what brings you to a place where you can have a relationship. But see, neither one of these things is worth doing by themselves if you're not going to take it all the way to have that intimacy with Christ. That's what it's all about, the intimacy with Christ. That's what Teshuvah is about, coming back so you can have the intimacy with Christ. Coming back so that on the Day of Atonement, when you come into the holy place, you can actually experience your God. When you come into the Feast of Tabernacles and we're celebrating with great joy. You know, the Feast of Tabernacles is the feast of Christ living in Jerusalem on the throne and governing the world, right? Right? Well, look at the letter to the Church of Philadelphia. You'll never leave the temple. Constant contact and intimacy. This is the feast for those people that got the program to have the constant contact and intimacy with the living Christ. So that means you should be experiencing that at Tabernacles if you make preparation. Come on, somebody. He created you for involvement. God is not a deist. He did not make you and set all this in motion and stand back and just watch. Oh, well, they shouldn't have gone left. Oh, well, right was where my blessing was, but they went left. Huh, that's too bad. God's not voyeuristic. God's not voyeuristic. He's not into just watching how you travel the little maze. Come on now. I mean, some people used to get their entertainment by getting high and watching a mouse in a maze. Oh, wow, hey, look at that, man. Look, God is not voyeuristic. He's actively trying to get your attention and explain things in your life so that you can make the right trip, the right turn, the best way. It's right here. Your blessings are around the corner. Don't give up now. Oh, come on, somebody. Look, when we started this ministry, God told me, and He confirmed that by telling Miss Sandy, that I needed to watch the movie Field of Dreams. Build it and they will come. Well, we built it and they didn't come. Happened in the movie too, didn't it? Yeah. And then it said, take care of their pain, right? Take care of their pain. For us, the Lord showed me that translated was stand strong for the truth. Because people keep coming in, well, I don't think we should do all that. I don't agree with that. Why you got to do it this way? And over and over and over again, we have been pushed and forced to compromise. Give up this piece of truth. Give up that piece of truth. Cut out the Holy Ghost baptism. Do you got to be so rowdy in worship? Does the music got to be so loud? Over and over and over again, it's always a compromise with some component of the program that God told us to do. That God told us to do. The last part of it was go the distance. So many people get weak. They don't want to go the distance. It doesn't come when they want. They want. We got the promise in the Word. We got the promise in the personal Word and promise in the written Word. And it doesn't come when we want at our time and we don't want to go the distance. But what happened when he went the distance? Then God opened the door and the folks came. We've been looking for all kinds of things to happen in this congregation. And they're going to happen if we go the distance. If we don't go the distance, none of this is going to happen because we won't be here. He created you for involvement in your life. You're thinking, you're living, you're loving, you're working, you're writing, and he created you for worship. The word for man in the early part of Genesis, I will make man, is the Hebrew word zakar, and it means competent to worship. The Hebrew word for the spirit that he put in man when he breathed into Adam's nostrils is the ruach. And in both the Greek and the Hebrew, that word for the spirit that's in you means that intangible part of a person that can make contact with God. We were created to worship. We were created out of the mud of the ground to worship God. And a spirit was put in us. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians. The spirit that's in a man was put in us so we can make contact with God. And when we receive the Holy Spirit into our spirit, it becomes an irrevocable union. Just like the man's sperm and the wife's egg makes a new creature, so when his spirit enters your spirit, you become a new creature. As a matter of fact, John in 1 John calls the Holy Spirit the sperma of God. All of this is there so that you can worship him. That you can have involvement with him. Worship is that very intimate love by and through the power of the Spirit of God. If you have not read our book, Do You Know God? I said, I just got to insist you read it before trumpets. Many people claim to know God, but very few people know God. Most people know about God. The whole point of this ministry is that you can know God on a first person, first term, intimate basis. Not, oh yeah, Jesus saved me from my sins. Yeah, Jesus loved me, yes I know, before the Bible tells me. No. I want you to be able to say, I know my God because I've seen him and I've felt him and I've heard him and I've touched him. I want you to be an eyewitness to his resurrection that you see he lives because you've seen he lives. I don't want you to say, I'm saved because the Bible told me so. I want you to be able to say, I'm saved because I've seen his blood on that ark in heaven. Come on, somebody. I want you to be eyewitnesses. The spirit of man inside each person is the way to have that contact with God. And the Holy Spirit co-joined with the spirit of man inside of you gives you more clarity and better access to God Almighty. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost opens up a hotline where you pick it up and he's on the other line. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Are your phone calls getting answered? You didn't get that. When you call God, is your phone call getting, does he return your calls? If you're Holy Ghost baptized, he ought to be on the other end when you pick up the line. Come on. If he's not, it's because your sins have cut the phone line. And the way to get the phone line back is to confess your sins to him and get straight on them. Come on. Get back into Sabbath. Get back into holy days. Get off the unclean food. Get into the tithing program so you can not only have physical blessing, but so that phone line, he's on it when you pick it up. Come on. I kind of like that. I kind of like that a lot. Worship involves the complete giving over of yourselves to the living God. You didn't get that. Worship involves the complete giving over of yourself. As long as you're holding back and saying, well, God, you know, I like you and all that, but. No buts. No buts. Lord, I completely surrender to you the way a husband and wife surrender to each other in intimacy. That's what God is looking for with his spirit. That complete surrendering in personal intimacy through the Spirit of God. Now I want you to turn to Hosea. Hosea is the book for the last days. Hosea is the book for the house of Israel in the last days. Hosea is the book for these United States at this time in your life and mine. Hosea chapter 2. (Clears throat) Teshuvah is about coming back to God. But you see, God wanted intimacy with the children of Israel. But he didn't get it. And they turned and they worshiped other gods, and he called them whores and adulterers. There's a reason he uses that language. The reason he uses that language is, you see, that intimacy and that worship belongs to him. And when they gave it to another god, he uses the same terms that you would use in a marriage. Because we're supposed to be married to Yeshua. And we're supposed to have that intimacy on a spiritual level the way a husband and wife has in the flesh. Come on, y'all. This is what God created us to have. Hosea chapter 2, verse 16. In that day, declares Yahweh, you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. This is for now. This is for today. This is for you right now, September 4th, 2010. You are supposed to come to the place where you call him my husband, my lover, not my master. I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips, and no longer will their names be invoked. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the creatures that move along the ground. Bow, sword, and battle I will abolish in the land so that all may lie down in safety. That's not going to happen until the millennial reign of Jesus and it's the Feast of Tabernacles is fulfilled on earth. But you know what? You're supposed to have that, September 22nd through the 30th, when we go to the Feast of Tabernacles, you're supposed to have this with him. This is what you're supposed to have. You're not supposed to have to wait until the millennial reign for your covenant and your covenant relationship and being in that sweet intimacy comes from your surrender in the Spirit. And that day, I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness and you will acknowledge the Lord. We're supposed to be betrothed. Look how many people call themselves Christians that do not have anything close to the relationship that's talked about right here. If you don't have this, you ain't betrothed. Christ doesn't marry the whole church. He marries these people right here. And it's up to me to convince you to become one of them. It's up to me to convince you. I can't make you do it. I can only persuade you to do it. Of your own free will, you got to want him on that level. You got to want that kind of spiritual contact with him on this level. I will betroth you. Betrothal. In the ancient Jewish wedding, betrothal is married. After betrothal, it takes a divorce to get out of it. It's a binding contract that cannot be annulled. You didn't get that. Joseph was betrothed to Mary when he found her with child and decided to divorce her quietly so that she would not be stoned to death. It was already married. If you get betrothed to Jesus Christ on this side of millennial reign, you're already married. And look at that word acknowledge. Look at that word acknowledge. That word is not mental understanding. That word is not, oh, I acknowledge the way we use it. What a complete and gross mistranslation. That word in Hebrew is yada, which means the intimacy between a husband and a wife. Adam yadad Eve, and she bore him a son. Yada. Yada. You have to come to that place of spiritual intimacy and worship. And you will yada Yahweh. He's going to betroth you, and you must yada him. Think about that for a minute. That's something that takes place between the Spirit of God living in you and the Spirit of God coming from him, and y'all come together in yada. Echad in spirit with Adonai. Come on. Then he goes from Adonai to Ishi, my husband. Ishi. Now you tell me, ladies, if you let that be known, does your husband run for the door? Does he turn on SportsCenter? I got to watch the game. Come on, man. When that is known, do you go bowling with your buddies? No. See, now you're asking me, can God be caught in the worship service? Yes, God can be caught in the worship service because, see, he came for that. He came for that intimate contact with you in the Spirit. That's what He comes here for. So it's not whether He's willing. It's not whether He's here. It's not whether that you can have that contact when you show up to church. It's whether or not you're willing. Because He is willing. He's like, oh, the Lord wills. Well, you know what? When you talk about coming to Sabbath service, the Lord wills. He already wrote it down. You have permanent, written, legal will from God that He wants you to come to Sabbath service. He wills you come to Sabbath service. You don't have to ask if the Lord wills. No, He already willed that. If the will is up to you whether you're going to show up. Well, He's already willed that when you come in here, there's going to be yada in the Holy Ghost, and the only question is whether or not you're going to come and have that with Him. You see, He's done His part. When we come in here, we got to do our part, and our part is surrendering to Him in the Spirit of God to have that yada with Him. Come on, somebody. In that day I will respond, declares Yahweh. I will respond to the skies and they will respond to the earth. And the grain will earth will respond to the grain, the new wine and oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. I will plant her for myself in the land, and I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people, and they will say to me, you are my God. Every one of us was lost at one time. Every one of us was lost and out in the world and not His people. Every one of us was lost and trashing the Sabbath and trashing the holy days and eating things that defiled our bodies and would defile the Holy Spirit in our body. All of us did that. Not to mention all the other sins that we did. But you see, as we respond to Him, He's going to respond to us. What does that mean? The grain, the new wine, and the oil. It means your blessing and your prosperity. Not getting that. When you come in and you have that sweet, intimate fellowship with Him, then He's going to respond to you and the blessing's going to come in your... I didn't make this up. I'm just telling you what's there. God, the Creator God of all that exists, does not want to be put on a pedestal like some Roman statue and bowed down to. God wants to be your husband in complete, perfect, loving, spiritual intimacy. He wants to be intimately involved in your life on a continual and continuous daily basis. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to listen to Him. God moves on your behalf because of your relationship with Him. Come on, somebody. He moves on your behalf because of your relationship to Him, or He fails to move on your half based on your lack of relationship with Him. How close are you to Jesus? When He walks in the room, can you tell? You know, Lanice can walk in the room and I can often tell when my eyes are closed. Right? We're close. Been married nearly 30 years now. I can tell when she's in the room. I oftentimes wake up when she leaves the room, even if she's quiet. Why? Because her presence left mine. Y'all didn't get that. Her presence comes in, and I recognize, awake or asleep, often. Her presence leaves, and I recognize, whether awake or asleep, often. When you're coming into church, can you discern the presence of the living Christ that's in here through the power of His Spirit? So that's a whole new level of thinking, isn't it? That's a whole new level of understanding. The worship isn't because we want kicked up music. The worship is in here to provide you a place where you can have spiritual intimacy with the living Christ. That's the part of the service He comes from. He didn't need to hear me teach. There's nothing I'm going to say He didn't already give me. There's nothing that I'm ever going to say that the Father's going to elbow Yeshua and go, hey, did you see that, son? That was good. You hear my boy? Look at that. I never heard of that before. Wow, now, yeah. That's never going to happen, y'all. The worship is what He comes for. He comes to receive sweet spiritual intimacy with you. Did you come for that? Do you come for that for Him? Do you come to make contact with your God when you come in here? Because that's what it's all about. That's what Teshuvah is all about. It's about coming back into that place. It's about getting my mind, my body, my will, my emotions straight so that I can come in here and have contact with my God. He doesn't want to be a Roman statue stuck up on the wall. He's looking for people in these last days to lead others back to Him. Do you want to be a part of that? He wants relationships with people based on reality, not on hype. Hosea chapter 6. Prayer's not a formula. Prayer can't be a fancy formula. He doesn't respond to those. He responds to your heart. He responds to your desire for Him. He responds to your hunger for Him. Are you hungry? Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. Come and let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but He will heal us. You see, when we stray, when we turn away, He spanks us. I know it's not very popular to spank your kids anymore, but God doesn't have that hang up. He'll spank you in a heartbeat. He don't think nothing of it. Just think about Miss Bev when you read that. He don't think nothing of it. He'll spank you in a heartbeat. It's just fine. He just feels all good about it. He don't have no remorse when you're crying. Okay, spanking may be losing your job. Spanking may be losing your house. Spanking may be a car wreck. You know, I'm not saying that these things are spankings. It could be something else. But I'm saying that when the Lord, when you turn from Him, He brings stuff in your life that you don't like. Bad things happen to good people right here. You turn away from Him and He brings bad things to bring you back. Come on. What does the Bible say? Let's return. Let's make teshuvah. Let's go back to God. We've erred and we're feeling the consequence. Let's go back. He will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will restore us so that we may live in His presence. We want to live in His presence. We want the presence of the living God in the hall. Weekly service, holy days, tabernacles, atonement. We want the presence of the living God. Let us yada Yahweh. Let us yada Yahweh. Let us press on to yada Him. As surely as the sun rises, He will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains and like the spring rains that water the earth. Let us yada Him. Surely He will come to us. You have that in writing. That if you come to make yada with Yahweh, He will come to make yada with you. That word acknowledged there, yada, intimacy. Adam, yada Eve, and they have a son. You, yada Yahweh, you are betrothed. You are betrothed. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Yehuda? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. You see, we come to church and I love you, Lord, I love you. We turn around and do all the things He hates. We go back out and we mistreat each other. We talk ugly to each other. We steal on the job and we break the Sabbath and we eat stuff we're not supposed to. Our love is like the morning mist. We come in here, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. And then we got no follow through on that. You see, we're supposed to love Him. It's a continual walking with God. Enoch walked with God and God took him and rescued him from the flood. Didn't you get that? Enoch is a picture of your own private rapture. Because you walk with God, you're not going to face danger because He's going to take you out of it. But you see, we don't want to walk with Him on a daily basis. We want to put Him back in the closet or back up on the pedestal and go out and live like the heathen. Our love can't be like the morning mist and the early dew that disappears. Therefore, I will cut you into pieces with my prophets. I killed you with the words of my mouth, and my judgments flash like lightning upon you. Teshuvah is coming back, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and yada of God rather than burnt offerings. He wants the yada. He wants the relationship. He wants the contact. He wants the intimacy. It's more important to Him than everything else we do. And as we come into that place of yada, spiritual worship and yada with the living God, then guess what? Then all of our other problems start to melt away, because you know what? You can argue your case in the courtroom. God, you promised me from your word this or that, and you might get your right judgment, you might not. You can be yelling in the courtyard, God, 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 and you may or may not get found. But you know what? When you're whispering in the bedroom, you always get what you want. Come on, somebody. It's your relationship. I'll never forget one time we were very poor and struggling to survive, and Lanice said, I need some a particular type of antiperspirant. And I said, honey, we don't have any money and we can't buy that, and you're just going to have to make do, honey. Your smell doesn't bother me. It's okay. 2 days later, the neighbor comes over. Hey, I bought this and I don't like it. You know, the fragrance doesn't work for me, and, you know, I've only used it twice. Here, you want it? You don't have to ask if it was the brand she wanted. That's close. See, when you're that close to God, He knows what you want. See, yada, you don't have to yell for yada. You don't have to argue your case. God and your word, you say, you don't have to argue all that. You see, because yada means He knows what you want. You didn't get that. Yada means He knows what you want. He knows what you need, and you will have the confidence that no matter what it looks like in my life, no matter what my circumstances look like, no matter what things are going on to make me disbelieve, you can't make me not believe, because I know. I know that whatever I want and need is going to come to me in His perfect time, and it's always perfect. Look, there's a lot of times I got stuff at the perfect time. I wanted it a year earlier, 2 years earlier, 6 months earlier, but none of those would have been right. But He always comes on at the absolute, exact, perfect time for you to get what you want, and it always works out to your benefit when you get it on His time and not yours. Come on, somebody. Now, I'm speaking to people that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. He is your master. He bought you and He paid for you. He owns you. He has your title in His file cabinet in heaven. He's your God. He formed you in your mother's womb, and He put the breath of life into you, and He put the spirit of man into you when He gave you the breath of life. But He's your king only if you keep His law. He said, oh, He's my king. Oh, really? If you don't keep His law, He's not your king. He's not your king. You become an unprofitable servant because you're not even doing your duty. But I'm asking you today, is He your husband? I'm asking you today, is He your husband? Christ doesn't marry everybody who calls himself a Christian. I know that's popular theology right now. Oh, yeah, we're all in the bride. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. According to Bible law and human law, if there's no consummation, there's no marriage. You didn't get that. According to Bible law and human law, no consummation, no marriage. No court will uphold your rights if you have not consummated your marriage. So I'm going to ask you, have you been yadah with Yeshua? Have you been yadah with Yeshua? Because if you haven't, you're not married yet. Oh, that's some heavy preaching right there, brother. Yeah, it is. But you know what? If you don't hear it, you're never going to make the change. If you don't hear it, you're never going to get a chance to step up. If someone doesn't tell you, you're going to sit right where you are and go into all the things that you're going to go through. Hey, wouldn't you rather have somebody point it out and get you on the right track where you got time to change? Come on, somebody. Wouldn't you rather be able to make the change while you got time? He's only going to rescue those who've been intimate with Him. He's only going to rescue the bride. If you've never made yadah with Yeshua, when the rescue happens, you're going to be left behind. Look, people say to me, well, how do you know the ones being taken aren't the ones being taken in the tribulation? I'll tell you why. Because it says one shall be taken and one shall be left. Amen? Matthew 24. Taken is paralambano, which is the Greek word for the bride being taken to a Jewish wedding. So the one taken is paralambano to the wedding, and the one left, the word left is aphiemi, which is the Greek word that's translated divorce three times in your New The one taken is paralambano to the wedding, the one left is divorced. Divorced. Like I said, a Jewish wedding is binding at betrothal. It has to be broken with a divorce. So you make the decision while you're walking on planet Earth right now whether you're going to be consummated and paralambanoed or divorced. What's it going to be? Are you going to make yadah with Yeshua during worship? Are you going to make yadah and open yourself up to the intimate spiritual contact with Him during the services? Or are you going to put up your hand and be divorced? Ooh, this is heavy teaching there, Pastor. Yeah, this looks pretty good to me. Hosea chapter 8, verse 1. This is getting ready for Teshuvah, baby. Because we're going to have a time during these holy days. Y'all hear me? We are going to have a time during these holy days if you make preparation. Verse 1, put the trumpet to your lips. An eagle is over the house of the Lord because the people have broken my covenant and rebelled against my law. They've broken the marriage covenant. We broke the marriage covenant. Do you see it going on right now? No, I don't see it going on right now. What I see going on right now is people living in abject sin. Now we're about to legalize homosexual marriage for the whole country. Do you think that's part of the covenant? No, it is contrary to the covenant. We openly allow people to, quote, cohabitate in church. Cohabitate? What are you talking about, man? God ain't going for all that nonsense. Israel cries out to me, oh, our God, we yadah you. Oh, people cry it out. People can talk junk. People talk junk every day. Oh, it's so easy to say it, isn't it? But Israel has rejected what is good. Oh, yeah. Oh, we love in America to talk about church. We love to talk about religion. We love to talk about great moves of the Holy Ghost at church when half the time we're just working up our own emotionalism. Now, I ain't talking about junk. I'm talking about real. If you don't, you know how I can tell it's real? When you come to Yadah Yeshua, you'll start keeping that Sabbath day and nobody can bust you out of it. When you start Yadah Yeshua, you won't eat anything unclean because you don't want to defile, you don't want to defile the contact with Him. When you come into Yadah Yeshua, you trust Him with your finance. When you come into Yadah Yeshua, they can't beat you away from the holy days. So I can tell when you don't show up, oh, well, that wasn't real Yadah. You're just saying it. You're just saying it. They set up kings without my consent. They choose princes without my approval. Does that sound familiar? Huh? With their silver and gold, they make idols for themselves to their own destruction. We set up idols to ourselves all over. We worship everything but the living God. And then when we worship Him, we put Him on a pedestal so we treat Him like an idol. Throw out your calf idol, O Samaria. My anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of purity? They're from Israel. And look at our country. We're full of impurity. We're full of impurity. In church and out of church. Now we've lifted up Islam above Christianity in every way possible. We're full of impurity. This calf, a craftsman made it. It is not God. It will be broken to pieces, that calf of Samaria. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Aren't we? Aren't we? The stalk has no head, it will produce no flour. Were it to yield grain, foreigners would swallow it up. Isn't that happening? Come on, y'all. We won't even stop the border. We know Al-Qaeda's brought bombs across the southern border, and we still won't close the gate. There are Korans all over the desert. They're bringing them in like crazy. You think the Mexican drug lords are our buds? They're not our buds. Who you think's behind all that? Maybe Hugo Chavez? Yeah, I said it out loud on CD. Maybe Fidel Castro? These guys been fueling this stuff the whole time and we looking the other way. Ah, it's just people looking for work. Hey, look, if we wanted to accommodate Mexicans looking for work, we'd have a guest worker program. We are doing this on purpose and we're being swallowed up because God said it. It ain't because of all the conspiracy theories. It's because God said He's doing it because we sin. Israel is swallowed up. She is now among the nations like a worthless thing. For they have gone up to Assyria like a wild donkey wandering alone. Ephraim has sold herself to lovers. You see, we're to have one lover, Yahweh only. Although they sold themselves among the nations, I will now gather them together. They will begin to waste away under the oppression of the mighty king. Isn't this happening right now? We're wasting away under oppression? We set up a king instead of a president? Though Ephraim built many altars for sin offerings, these have become altars for sinning. Okay? Look, we got churches on every corner, and look, people sinning in them with wild abandon. They don't care. There's no fear of God in these churches. They're having affairs with one another. The pastors are accumulating up herons and stealing the funds, and the many altars for sin have become altars for sinning. I wrote for them the many things of my law, but they regarded them as alien. Go ahead, talk to your Christian buddies. What about keeping God's law? Oh, that's done away. Really? God didn't seem to think so. Oh, really? Is that what God said? He said, I wrote for them the many things of my law, but they regard them as something alien. Really? Well, you know what? God ain't going to judge us by what we think. He's going to judge us by what He said. And we're either going to do what He said or we're going to have it. They offer sacrifices given to me, but they eat the meat, and Yahweh is not pleased with them. Now He will remember their wickedness and punish their sins. They will return to Egypt. Israel has forgotten His maker and built palaces. Judah has fortified many towns, but I will send fire upon their cities that will consume their fortresses. We have to be real. This Yadah with Yahweh has to be real. It has to be personal. It has to be intimate. We can't be pretending and playing church. We got to be coming in here and truly opening up our heart and surrendering to Him in worship. Every one of us has to repent. That means completely turn away from the sins that we do. That's why we burn the list. We're showing by a physical act that we want to completely turn away from our sin. We want no part of it. Take it out of me, Lord. It is absolutely essential to live by God's law if you want to truly worship God. That's why I talk about it all the time. It always comes back to that. If you're not living by His laws and commandments, then you ain't a part. And you can't be a part. You can't make yourself a part. What church you go to or who your pastor is. When you don't keep the holy days, you don't keep the Sabbath, you don't keep the dietary laws, you don't keep tithing, then you can't be a part, because that's what He said. And guess what? He's the one that makes the decision whether you in or you out. It ain't up to what we think. We can think everything we want to think. Most of our thinking ain't right anyway. Don't trust your deceitful heart. Trust His word. And when you make your die with Him, you see, you'll put away the deceitfulness of your own heart and thinking, and you will trust His word. Funny how that works together, huh? You worship Him in intimacy and power and the Holy Spirit, and then you will trust His word. Hey, that's a good combination. I like that combination. Our country, our churches, our American civilization are all going to be destroyed because we've rejected God's law. We can't live like the other people out there. They're going to go to destruction. There's not going to be a Christendom-wide rapture of the church. It's going to be the rescue of a remnant who will turn to Him in absolute surrender and live His way of life and become intimate with Him on a personal, spiritual level. Those folks are going to their wedding. Everybody else gets divorced. Didn't you read the letter to Laodicea? You've become lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold. Therefore, I'm going to vomit you out. So you're in the body one moment thinking everything's cool, and the next moment you're in the floor. While everybody else goes, because the letter to Philadelphia said He's going to protect them from the hour of trial that comes to test the whole world. Philadelphia means brotherly love. When you can come into that place of intimacy with Christ, you'll have brotherly love one for another. And then He says, I set before you an open door which no man can shut. Though you have little strength, you have not disobeyed Me, and you're holding fast to what you have. Come on, somebody. That's where you want to be. We must first repent of our sins. And we must make teshuvah, which means to return back to Him. Then we can go into the presence of God Almighty. See, that's why this has to precede the Day of Atonement. First, we must repent of our sins. Then we must return to Yahweh. Make teshuvah. I will come back. Then we can go to the Day of Atonement and have that presence. And get into that presence. And have that yadah with Him on an all day. Come on, somebody. An all day long, intimate, personal, spiritual level. Which will be the Sabbath of the 18th. Now think about that one for a minute. You've got atonement falling on a Sabbath. Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, that's a double-double right there, man. Atonement on Shabbat. Double out. Oh, come on now. Come on now. Think about that. Sin is an obstacle to our worship, not because God can't look at it. He looks at it all day long. Read the prophets. Then we just read about idol worship here. Read the prophets. He looks at it all day long. God can look at it. He looks at it all the time. Sin is an obstacle because it destroys our ability to make contact with Him, not the other way around. You can get that. Sin is what stops us from making the contact with Him while He's in the room. They sinned. They ate the forbidden fruit. They were told they will surely die for eating that. And what happened? He still came down to have intimate contact with them, didn't He? He still came down. He came down the garden and said, "Where are you?" He saw what they did. Their sin made them pull away. We heard you in the garden and we were afraid. So when we get into a position where we're going to have intimate spiritual contact with Yahweh, the people with sin get afraid. And you watch, they leave. They always find a reason to leave. The people that understand their forgiveness and the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ are not the ones running away. They're the ones running for the floor. Hallelujah. You didn't get that. The people that understand that there's power in the blood and that the power of His blood will clean every sin and any sin and all sin for all time, they are not running for the door when He shows up. They're running for the floor.
Hallelujah. Right.
Hosea chapter 14. Like I said, God personally went to Sodom and Gomorrah to see for Himself. And then what He told Abraham? I'm going to see for myself. I've heard all the reports of what's going on down there. But before I destroy the city, I've got to see for myself. I'm just saying. We make up all these doctrines that don't come from the Word, and we want to put a fence around them to defend them when we really need to be running away from them because they take us into error. Hosea 14, verse 1. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Okay? Our sins are our downfall. The whole nation of us, our sins are our downfall. So he says, return to the Lord. Take words with you and return to the Lord. That's why we write a sin list. We've got to take words with us. God knows what we did. God saw everything we did, and worse, God saw the intent of our heart, which oftentimes we want to hide from our own thinking. Come on, you didn't get... God sees the stuff that we're even lying to ourselves about. Come on. Can't lie to your doctor, your lawyer, or yourself, but we lie to ourselves more than everybody. Oh, no, I'm a good person. No, I didn't really mean it. You know good and well you meant all that. You know good and well you're not a good person. You know good and well that you did all that stuff, and I know good and well I did all that stuff. And that's why you got to write it down, because it's coming to terms with it. You got to write it down because you need the honesty. God already got perfect honesty. We're the ones that got to say, I did that. And it's hard to say some of the stuff we did. Come on. It's hard to say some of the stuff we do. But we're going to keep doing it until we write it down and burn it. Take words with you and return to Yahweh. Say to him, forgive us all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer you the fruit of our lips. Other nations can't save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say our gods to what our own hands have made. In you, the fatherless find compassion. Means we got to pull God off the mantelpiece. We got to pull him off the pedestal, and we got to have a real, living, personal, intimate relationship with him. Then God says, I will heal their waywardness. Come on, we got waywardness. If you want it healed, this is what you got to do to get the healing from him. He says, I will heal your waywardness. Come on, we all got waywardness. Every one of us. Just cut me off in traffic one time. You'll find out. I got waywardness. Come on, we all got waywardness. We all got to choke it back at times. But God says if we'll come back to him for repentance and true repentance and teshuvah, he'll take it away from us. Come on, the sins you can't overcome on your own, he's going to wipe them out. Come on, somebody. This ought to be shouting right here. And I will love them freely because my anger has turned away from them. I'm showing you through Teshuvah the program that God laid out so that he will love you freely and he will turn his anger away from you. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like the cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots and his young shoots will grow. Why do they talk about that? The cedars of Lebanon do not succumb to drought. Come on, don't you want your finance and your household to be built in such a way that when money's tight, you're still growing? When times are hard, you're still growing? When everybody else is jonesing and doing without, you are still prospering? That's what he's saying. When you come back to him and get in this love relationship with him, then no matter what's going on outside around you, you are still thriving. And his splendor will be like the olive tree, his fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. Men will dwell again in his shade. That means other people will be coming to you because you'll be able to provide the help. Men will dwell again in his shade. He will flourish like the grain. He will blossom like a vine. And his fame will be like the wine from Lebanon. Oh, Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? I will answer him and care for him. I, Yahweh, am like a green pine tree. Your fruitfulness comes from me. Your fruitfulness. These lists I had you make, your fruitfulness comes from him. Do you want it to be fruitful? It comes from him. This is where your fruitfulness comes from, the quality of your relationship with him. Who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand them. The ways of Yahweh are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but the rebellious will stumble. So we talked to you about making a sin list. We talked to you about making the goal list for the year. We talked to you about your income statement, excuse me, and your budget and your balance sheet. And we're going to pray over them in a few minutes. We've talked to you about two important prayers to move God on your behalf, the Barukah and the prayer of Jabez. We talked to you about focusing on the feast and the seriousness of focusing in for his power and his presence. You know why? You want it, don't you? You want it, don't you? When you focus in on it yourself, then you know what? It kind of makes you a little more open to it when it comes. when you're praying for it, it makes you more interested in it. It makes you more looking for it. It gets your mind, will, and emotion straight. He's already coming. Today I want you to consider and take hold of your absolute need to worship God in true intimacy by His Spirit. I want you to make time before trumpets to get into that place of total surrender and worship. The secret place is the greatest weapon any of us will ever have. Psalms 91. Hallelujah. The secret place of the Most High. And I want you to go there. Now, you don't have many days left of Teshuvah, but I want you to go there once before trumpets. I want you to know your God, not be known of Him, and not only to know about Him. Psalm 91, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You know where that is? David's tabernacle was an open-air tent, and the ark was open, and people could come and worship before the ark, and the shelter of His wings in the secret place was when you got in the shadow of those wings, when the sun came in. You got the shadow of the wings. You're right before the ark of the covenant where God sits. The secret place of the Most High. You can do that through the Spirit of God. You can look it up in Revelation 11, chapter 11, verse 1. It's open through the Spirit of God. Your Holy Ghost baptized, you've got access to that place in heaven. I will say of Yahweh, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers on those wings, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by the day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will never come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even Yahweh, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not even strike your foot against a rock. You will tread upon the lion. Who's that roaring lion? And upon the cobra. And you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says Yahweh, I will rescue Him. Because He yadahs me, I will rescue Him. I will protect Him, for He yadahs my name. And He will call upon me, and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble, and I will deliver Him and honor Him. With long life will I satisfy Him, and I will show Him Yeshua. I just put a few Hebrew names in there for you. Those are accurate. My salvation. He's going to show you Yeshua. Do you want to see Yeshua? Come on, y'all. Do you want to see Yeshua? I pray all the time that every one of you will see Yeshua. I pray all the time that I've been begging all week long that every one of you will come to the Day of Atonement and get to have contact with your God, and that you will get to see Him in the Spirit, and that you will get to touch Him in the Spirit. I've prayed all week long that every one of you will come to the Feast of Tabernacles and you will feel His hand laid upon you somewhere, and that you will quicken under the Holy Ghost and know that you have been touched by your God. I prayed all week long for that. Have you been praying for that? After we talked about it last week, I've been praying for you to have that kind of God encounter, because that's what this ministry is all about. We're not just a Sabbath observant church. We're not just a Holy Ghost baptized little church. We are pulling this whole program together so you can have contact with Him, and that's the only reason we exist. Repentance is the start of the journey. The secret place of the Most High is the destination. You don't have to shout in the secret place. You don't got to argue for your rights. In the secret place, your heart is at cod with His heart. And He already knows. Does not Jesus say that if you love Him with all your heart, He will already know what's in your heart? You don't got to pray to God with many words and much speaking. He already knows what's in your heart. Didn't know what He said? That's because you become at cod with Him. Until that, you got to yell and holler and argue and all that other stuff. But once you become at cod, He knows. And once you become Ikad, you know. See, that's the other part of the equation. He said, if you had faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could move mountains. Once you come into intimate Yadah contact with Yeshua, then your heart will know. And you will have shalom that passes all understanding, because you won't need a word. You didn't get that. You won't need to go look up a word. You will know, no matter what befalls me, my God is going to rescue me out of it, because I am Ikad with Him. And He will see to it. If you've worked this plan over the days of Teshuvah, then you're going to have a fall holy day season for your record books, and you will have a year in 2011 that will blow your mind. You can take that to the bank. Now, if you've got your list, I want you to get them out. We're going to pray over them.